this evening and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning I announce the sermon title for tonight. It's entitled, How to Be a Survivor. How to be a survivor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, find verse number 7, and then stand with me if you will, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse number 7, I'm going to read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. Help it to help someone. And Father, may we accomplish exactly what the sermon's intent is, and that is that we would survive. That we would survive living in this life. That our Christianity would be strong and we would survive the attacks of the devil. Bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Here, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, I endure all things. We won't go to all the scripture that I'm about to refer to, but I'm going to tell you that the Apostle Paul, it said he endured. Paul was a survivor. Paul was a survivor. The Bible tells us that Paul was in a shipwreck, but he was a survivor. The Bible tells us the Apostle Paul was one day bitten by a poisonous snake, but Paul was a survivor. Paul was put into prison. He was in jail off and on, but Paul was a survivor. Paul faced many beatings, but Paul was a survivor. He faced illnesses, but he was a survivor. He faced harassment, but Paul was a survivor. The Apostle Paul faced in his lifetime rejection by his peers, but he was a survivor. He lost friends. The Bible tells us of different friends that he lost, but he was a survivor. Now, I don't know of a greater compliment than for someone to look at a Christian that's been around a while and says that could say of you, you're a survivor. There's a real devil. He's out to make it hard on us. The devil doesn't want you to be a survivor. My pastor once said, Jeff, I think you'll survive this thing. And I'm glad. I was really encouraged by the thought of that. I really did want to make it through whatever it is I had or have to go through. And listen, I'm not just talking about staying alive. Now, look up this way. Look up this way. I'm not just talking about staying alive. I'm talking about you and I staying in church and continuing to do the right thing. And it may not seem like a real big issue, but don't we know of hundreds, yea, thousands of people that didn't make it? Brother Krum, I wonder how big of a building we would need if everybody you reached all these years had survived. Wow. Think of the people. They come and go. The evangelist, Dr. Joe Boyd, he pastored a church in Texas called the Open Door Baptist Church. One day someone asked him, said, do you like the name of your church? He said, well, I like the name. It would have been better named the Revolving Door Baptist Church. He said, all these years they come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go. And you know what that means? People that didn't survive. Now, so far, you're here tonight. You've survived thus far. But I want to survive. I want to last. I'm going to give you just a little testimony to get the sermon started. And I'll try to keep it moving. But I want to survive. Mrs. Owens and I, we want to be survivors for the Lord. I remember when we lost our very first child, her very first pregnancy. We had a very tragic situation. We were on a youth activity. Mrs. Owens was pregnant. We were riding in a hay wagon. And we got out into a part of a field, and we hit a terrible, terrible bump. And as a result, and I just about threw her off the wagon. And in that night, we lost that baby. And so we actually have five children, one that went to heaven before all the rest. Now, we survived that. We didn't get bitter. We didn't leave church. We didn't blame God. We decided that we wanted to keep doing the right thing no matter what came our way. My home church had had six different pastors. Now, the first man that pastored my home church was there for 11 years. And then God called him elsewhere. But the hard part, I think, for us was then over the next 9-year period, we had five different pastors. And, you know, I heard pastors standing up in the pulpit and saying to me, "Don't quit." And I was then watching that very same man, you know, 18 months later, quitting. And it could have really soiled me. It could have soiled my opinion. I could have, at one point, when again, after in 20 years, you go through seven different pastors, you could get to the point where you'd say, "Phooey on this." I mean, the guy that's, you know, running the show is up there saying, "Whatever you do, don't quit." And then you've got the guy that's leading the pack quitting. But I'm glad we didn't quit. We survived that. I told earlier this morning, when our middle son was born, we almost lost him. He was born and began to lose weight. And he lost weight consistently for weeks, and he was in intensive care, and they told us they were not sure he was going to make it. Now, all that time, we were faithful to God, we were faithful to church, and we didn't get bitter, we didn't get angry with God, and we survived that. I remember I had a very good job for a young man, but God had called me to preach, and it was time for us to, we needed to get further training. I needed to go off to Bible college. I needed the experience of going off to Bible college. There were courses I could take, but there's just something different about packing up, selling out, and going off to Bible college. And we did that. I gave up a very good job. We got to Bible college. I had a job. I started that job. And 2 days after I was officially hired, they shut the company down. You talk about a bummer. You know, we moved. I mean, I gave up my job. We gave up our house. We sold our house. We took the children that were alive at that point in our lives. We moved them all the way. And you don't always want to take your kids, but we did. We took our kids. We moved 6 or 7 hours away. We went up to the Chicago area, and it was cold and nasty and dirty. And I was depending on that job, and we lost that job. Well, I don't remember us for a moment being angry about it. I don't remember us thinking about quitting. I don't remember us discussing, "Well, we're going to pack up and go home." We survived that. We survived it. Over the years, we've been through battles. I've taken a stand. I've preached some pretty heavy-duty sermons through the years about some pretty heavy-duty issues. I preached one sermon, and I received over 1,400 threatening, life-threatening emails and correspondence. And you might say, "Oh, that sounds exciting." Not until you have had your life threatened to the point where I had security that walked me back and forth to my car. And I'm not going into the issue. I didn't want to make an issue of the issue tonight, but I preached it and I believed it. And oh my, it was tough. It was hard. We had to put security lights around our home, and it was a really, really big deal. I can remember when I moved. I had worked in Indiana and worked at the world's largest Sunday school for years. And when I moved there and I took my very first pastorate again, we sold our house. We moved, and boy, because that's what God wanted us to do. And we survived it. And I've been through battles. We don't talk about it a lot. Mrs. Owens had been having terrible headaches, and she started losing the vision in one eye. And we took her to two separate medical facilities, and they had found a tumor, a brain tumor. And it was just, I mean, it was a devastating time in our thinking, and it was a fearful time in our thinking. But God brought us through all of that many, many years ago, brought us through it all, to the point that many years later, we went back and they gave her a clean bill of health and said, "We there's no problem anymore." And it was just a miraculous thing. of course, we've watched family members pass away and the difficulties of life and attacks. You know, anybody that's in the public eye a lot, they're going to have attacks come upon them. That's just all there is to it. And boy, the attacks. And you know, I've had people say things about me that were true, that, you know, I'm dirty, rotten, low down, good for nothing snake. But I've had people say things that were not true. And when you just take your family, when your family is very, very visual. There are times when people, if they take a swing at me, they knew I'd just maybe just take the punch and keep on going. So they'll go after your family. And oh my, and there have been some really tough times. And with all that, I had a very dear friend that turned on me and just broke my heart. I would never tell you who it is, but I never fought back. I never raised a hand against the person, never tried to hurt him for a second, but I'll tell you, it's a devastating thing when you have things like that happen to you. I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. God called me to preach. I'm just as sure of that as I am sure that Michael Armstrong's bald. That's pretty obvious. But I'm sure God called me. So I've been doing it a long time. And as you do it, we were a part of the world's largest Sunday school. And I have to tell you, the attacks and the hardships as the devil would attack, it becomes overwhelming. It becomes very, very difficult. All I've ever wanted to do is to survive and keep going. That's all. I just want to survive. I have a little goal. I want to become a 90-year-old, 100-year-old, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only Baptist preacher that never changed. I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be popular. I just want to make it all the way to the end. And, you know, someday when someone preaches my funeral, if they could say he survived and he just kept going. That's what I'd like to see happen. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how you survive. Now, I'm 54. There are people in here. You've had your battles. All I can do is I can give you, from a 54-year-old man's perspective, I can give you some tools or some ideas on how you can survive too. We survive primarily because of His grace and His mercy. Now that's a primary, His grace and His mercy. But there's some other things. There's some attitudes. I wish I had time to take 20 minutes on every one of these attitudes or every one of these thoughts, but let me give you some things that can help you survive. If you'd really like to keep on going for God, if you don't want to be a has-been, if you don't want to be one of the people that didn't make it, and again, let me remind you, all of us know of people that didn't make it through the battles. They're teenagers in here, you know, people used to come to church and they don't come anymore. At every age in here, You know people that used to serve God and they don't anymore. They're just not doing it anymore. Let me help you. I call it how to be a survivor. First of all, here's something that I decided. I decided a long time ago I wanted to be a survivor. I made that decision on purpose. Do you know that some of you, if you're not careful, you'll be a little blind to the possibility that we could lose you along the way. But be sure, the devil doesn't want you to survive. I made a conscious decision when I was a 16-year-old boy. At 16 years of age, when I got called to preach, somehow I came in contact with someone that said, you better decide you're going to make it all the way to the end right now. And I decided when I was 16, I don't want to quit on God. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. I decided that I didn't want to be a casualty in God's service. I had watched quitters along the way, and I determined that I didn't want that. I wanted to serve God all the way to the finish line. I determined when I was young, and not only did I determine I wanted to just keep serving God, I determined how. I want to be a part of a soul-winning, independent, fundamental Baptist church all the way to the end. I don't consider it total survival when you are going to a church, but it's not the right kind because you changed or you copped out or you took the easy route. I want to be that 100-year-old preacher. They might not be able to say I've done anything wonderful much in my life, but I'd like them to say, you know what? He stuck to his guns all the way to the end. So let me tell you this. Usually the ones that are survivors are people that have decided, I want to survive. I want to make it to the end serving God the way I've been taught to serve God. Number two, to be a survivor, you're going to have to remind yourself others are watching you and they need you to survive. Others are watching you and they need you to survive. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul said, I want to survive because there are other saved people that are watching me and they kind of need me to survive. In this congregation, there are people in here, in a way, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but you needed me to survive so I could stand in here tonight and say to you, you need to survive. It's easier to listen to someone who is a survivor tell you that you need to be a survivor. I need to keep on going. I need to survive because there's somebody out there that needed me to survive. People need the example of having someone stand up and say, I don't care what you face, you can keep on going. I used to hear my pastor, Brother Hiles, get up and preach, and he'd be in an all-out battle royal, and he'd be up there saying, you can make it, you can take it, don't stop, keep on going. And I'd think, whew, that's what I needed to hear. And folks, somebody out there needs to hear you live and say what I'm saying tonight. You need to, your life needs to say you can do this. Your life, your words, your lips need to say, I can survive. And so, if you want to be a survivor, I think you really need to make the decision. That's what you want to be. I want to be a survivor. If you want to survive, I think you need to realize somebody is watching you and they need you to survive. There have been times when I've been taking hits. And if it had been all about just me, I might not have made it. But I'd look around, and I'd look at my wife, I'd look at my kids, I'd look at other people, and I'd think, I don't think I could quit on me. But I didn't want to quit on them. And everybody in here, somebody's watching you, and that somebody needs you to survive because their survival is dependent on your survival. Number three, to be a survivor, you've got to believe that God is a just God. Oh, this is important. To survive, you've got to believe that God is a just God. Psalm 89 verse 14, it says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Did you know that God will never allow you to go through a temptation without giving you the strength to say no to that temptation? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And it says that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now listen, God's a just God. God will never put anything on you that you can't handle. You say, well, God did. He put something on me I didn't handle. Well, God gave you the strength. You just didn't use it. Don't blame God for your failures. You can do what you're supposed to do. But listen, we have got, if you really want to survive, you've got to believe that God is a just God and God is a fair God. God is not going to cause us to face or to carry anything that we can't face and carry. Now, I really believe that. I believe that with my whole heart. I spend my life saying to people, God will not put anything on you that he will not give you the wherewithal and the strength to make it through it. And you say, I didn't make it through it, then that was your fault and you didn't use the strength God gave you. Because I believe my God is fair. I believe my God is just. It would not be fair for God to put on Jeff Owens more than Jeff Owens could handle. That would be unfair. But because I believe my God is just, then I know he'll never load me beyond my fair capacity. And I always believe that. If you would just say, God's fair, God's just, so whatever I'm facing, he wouldn't put it on me if he didn't think I could handle it, so I can. So I can. So if you want to survive, you probably need to decide to be a survivor. If you want to survive, I think you probably need to realize somebody else is depending on you being a survivor. Their being a survivor is dependent on your being a survivor. If you want to survive, I think you're going to have to believe that God is just. God is fair. Next, to be a survivor, you're going to have to believe that what's happening in your life, the hardships that you face, are not there to destroy you, but to make you. Not there to destroy you, but to make you. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. Now, look, even if you've done wrong, do you know that when you've done wrong and judgment comes, God intended that judgment to be discipline. God's trying to direct you. Look, a good parent, when they go to discipline their child, they weren't trying to destroy their child. And some of you kids say, yeah, but Dad said he's going to kill me. I mean, that's what Dad said. I know, but Dad didn't mean he was going to kill you. Every parent that's ever disciplined a child properly in their heart, that discipline was there to help that child. They're trying to develop that child. Look, if you want to be a survivor, you're going to have to believe that what comes in your life that's a hardship, it's God preparing you. It's God teaching you. You say, I'm having a difficult financial issue in my life. God's trying to do something for you. God's trying to train you. God's trying to develop you. You say, I have problems with my children. That wasn't God trying to destroy you. That's God trying to make you. It's God trying to build you. Your heartache is there to be used like the building supplies of life. It's not a wrecking ball. It's building supplies. I look, and I have done this for years, I look at each trial in my life like a college course. Hardship comes my way, I take out my ink pen and say, well, better take notes because evidently God has something He wants me to learn. I just look at it as, okay, must be something new to learn today. Now, I don't spend all my time saying, oh, this is so bad. No, I can't take anymore. I'm taking notes. I'm saying, good enough. Okay, I don't want to do that anymore. That one, I see what caused this, and I want to be careful of that, and I'm not going over there. But I'm not all freaked out within the issue. Now, some of you, but that's what you do. You just freak out in the issue. Won't you just stop and realize, evidently something's come upon me and it's to be a tool of learning. And it'll change your attitude completely with the hardships of life. So remember, I'm trying to be a survivor. I decided I want to be a survivor. I decided others needed me to be a survivor. I realized that God was just, so whatever I went through, He'd see me through it. And He's a fair God. I decided that I wanted to realize that God wasn't trying to destroy me, He was trying to train me. Something else. To be a survivor, and this will really help you, to be a survivor, you've got to believe when hardship comes upon you that it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Psalm 141, verse number 5 says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. What? Somebody smiting me could be a kindness? Yeah. You could have someone righteous smite you, or you could have someone evil smite you. I'd rather be smitten by the righteous than the evil, so it could get worse. When hardship comes to me, I'm like you. I can take the punch and say, whoa, that hurt. But I quickly say to myself, glad I only got hit once. Hey, if somebody tries to run me over with their car, I say, well, that would hurt. I just think, thank God they didn't try to back up and hit me again. This sounds a little anemic and weak, but you need to learn to look on the bright side. God gave you the best deal He could. What you are facing is the best situation available for you at this time. You say, how do you know that? Well, God loves you. Why would God do anything less than best for you? You say, but look what I'm facing. I know. But you have the best thing in God's will that's available to you right now. God didn't choose the worst thing He could do to you or the worst thing to allow to come into your life. God didn't choose that. God chose the best thing, even when it's a burden. My wife's mother, she was a German lady, and yeah, you talk about a woman that could cook. Her mom could cook. Now, her mother had sugar diabetes, and I think that someone had clipped one of her toenails, got too close, and injured her toe. And it got infected. And oh, can that turn into a mess? The infection started heading up her leg, and they had to surgically remove her leg. Her mother's attitude was this. Everybody was feeling sorry for her. Everybody was just mourning over the fact that she was going into surgery to lose her leg. Now, Grandma Ludicky said, first of all, get me a magic marker. We're going to mark the leg that's supposed to be cut off. I'm marking it myself. She said, I want to write on it, take this one. This is the bad one. And she marked it. She marked her own leg to make sure they were going to cut off the right leg. Her whole attitude was, here everybody was feeling sorry for her because she lost a leg. She came out of surgery. The first thing she said, well, everybody was weeping and mourning and so sad. She said, what are you all so upset about? God gave me two. I still have one. She had a better attitude than everybody that was feeling sorry for her. Now, listen to me. If we're not careful, we can have hardship come our way and say, it couldn't be worse. That's a really dumb thing to say. I've always believed that God gives me the best heartache that He had available for me. If God has a cabinet that He keeps all the heartaches in, when He says, okay, Jeff, in your life, it's time for a heartache. I think he goes over, he opens up that cabinet, and he looks and he says, there's the worst ones and there's the semi-bad ones. There's the good ones. I believe God's always reached into the cabinet of burden and handed me the very best one He had available for me. And so, you know, that's exactly what He did for you too. God's not this evil, big, bad, nasty villain in the sky that's trying to get you. If a burden came into your life, God picked the very best one He could find to give you. And you've got to believe that if you want to survive. If not, you're going to end up bitter with God. You're going to get, you know, a lot of people that are angry with God. They blame God. I'm just so, hey, when God gives me a burden, I'm not happy. I don't walk around saying, huh, give me some more. I don't do that. But I do have this attitude. I'll say, thank you for handpicking that. Thank you for making sure you gave me the very best one that you had for me. Let me give you something else to be a survivor. You have to believe that God knows what He's doing. You just have to believe that God knows what He's doing. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:5, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Here it's being said, somebody had faith in God. Somebody endured because they had faith in God. Now, let me explain. When I say you've got to believe that God knows what He's doing, here's how what you have to do. You don't have to understand what's happening to you. You've just got to believe that God understands it. To be honest, you don't even have to like it. You just have to know it's what He chose. And I think God knows we're human. And I think sometimes when heartaches and burdens come to us and we look up and say, God, what's going on here? I think God understands that part of us. And we look up and say, God, I don't understand. I think God understands that part of us. But let me tell you something. If you ever voice yourself to God and you say, God, I don't understand it. God, it doesn't make sense to me. God, I don't even really like it. But here's how you have to end this conversation with God. But you're God, and I'll trust you. Amen. You want to pour out your heart and your soul to Him? Go ahead. Just be smart enough right at the end of it to say, but you're God, and I trust you. You lost someone that you loved to death. It doesn't make sense to you. Okay. But you've got to have to trust God. He knows what He's doing. You're going to have faith in God about your illness. Me? I would have everyone here to be healed 100% today. That's what I'd love to have happen. But I'm not God. And you and I, as human beings, we don't want each other to be sick. We don't want to be sick ourselves. But I have to tell you, God knows what He's doing. And we're just going to have to trust God. So if you want to be a survivor, I think you have to believe that God knows what He's doing. To be a survivor, number 7, to be a survivor, don't try to carry tomorrow's burdens today. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies. And in verse 23 it says, and they are new every morning. God says, I'll give you new mercy every day. You say, why? Because you're supposed to use God's mercies for your burden of today. But what we sometimes do is we get to worrying about tomorrow today. Take one day at a time. Make it through today, and tomorrow, God will help you tomorrow. He has mercy for your tomorrow. You see, if you freak out about tomorrow and tomorrow's problems, can I tell you, you might have wasted a good freak out. I wonder how many times on Monday you're panicked about what's going to happen on Thursday, and it never even gets here. Have you all faced some of that where you're going, oh, and then it all goes away, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish I wouldn't have acted like that. Why? Well, the devil likes us to humiliate ourselves. Don't waste your panic. If you're going to panic for today. I don't want you to even panic at all. But if you need it, Owen Scripture, panic for today, but don't panic tomorrow for today. So many times what we thought might come upon us never comes upon us. Think of all the energy and the emotion that we wasted. Look, survivors learn how to carry today's burdens today. There are times when I am going through, and I'm sure my battles seem big to me and your battles seem big to you, but there have been times when I've been through battles, I just wondered, am I going to be able to go through this? And I had to say to myself, Jeff Owens, get through today. Tomorrow you'll wake up and try again. But if I worried about everything out in the future, it was overwhelming to me and it will depress you. It'll ruin your spirit. Just get through today. God gives you strength for today. Did you know that you don't need any strength today for tomorrow? All the strength that you have today was intended to solve your today issues. And if you use today's strength on tomorrow issues, then today comes up short. Get through today. Another thing, if you want to be a survivor, you need to remember that Jesus didn't quit on you. He didn't quit on you. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They mocked him at a mock trial, but he survived it. They threw him in jail. He survived it. They took a cat of nine tails to him and beat him within inches of his life. He survived it. He carried his own cross, but he survived it. A crown of thorns, he survived it. They nailed his hands, he survived it. They nailed his feet, he survived it. They stripped him, embarrassed him, he survived it. He endured the cross. See, Jesus is a survivor. And I'm glad we are given his example. He's the ultimate survivor. He went through unimaginable and unexplainable torture and pain, but he survived it. Then he turns to you and I and he says, I did it, you can do it. I did it, you can do it. But remember, Jesus didn't quit on you. The reason you and I have a salvation is because he didn't quit on us. Let me review and I'm almost done. I think if you want to be a survivor, you have to decide you want to be a survivor. That may be the key for some of you. Some of you need to say, you know what? I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want it to be 5 years from now, I'm out of God's will. Okay, you decide to be a survivor. Then you realize others are watching you and their survival may depend on your setting an example of being a survivor. Number three, you got to believe God is just. Number four, you've got to face that God's not trying to destroy you, but he's trying to grow you or make you in your burden. Number five, you've got to believe it could have been worse. You just say to yourself, this could be worse. And it won't take you long if you really took a look at it. You could say, yeah, it very obviously could have been worse. Number six, to be a survivor, you've got to believe that God knows what he's doing. Number seven, to be a survivor, you face today's burden today. You face tomorrow's burden once you get there. Number eight, to be a survivor, you've got to remember Jesus didn't quit on you. Number nine, I really believe that most of the time you and I'm not sure the hardest thing that comes upon us is what somebody else does to us. I think probably the hardest thing that comes upon us is what we do to ourselves. Now, maybe that's my testimony. Jeff Owens can be Jeff Owens' own worst enemy. You know, if you took a shot at me, surviving that may be a little easier than when I goofed it up, when I sinned, when I did bad, when I did what I knew I wasn't supposed to do, when I didn't handle it right, when I didn't do what the Bible told me to do. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Now listen, if you want to be a survivor, you have to learn how to claim His forgiveness. I wish I had 30 minutes to develop this, but listen, let me shorten it. But listen, you have to claim His forgiveness. I'm going to tell you, I've done my fair share of sinning. I'm not tooting my horn. I've done my fair share of sinning. When I do wrong, I have learned to go to God and ask His forgiveness. And then I believe that He forgave. I try not to find myself depressed for weeks and months after my sin. I don't let the devil steal the victory of the forgiveness that I requested. Tell you something, if you do wrong and you sin, and you will, you get to God as fast as you can and say, "Forgive me." Then you say, "I believe you did." And they say, "What do you do?" Get out there and serve Him. Just jump right back in and serve Him. See, I know people that have done the same stupid thing that I've done, but they had a hard time dealing with the forgiveness issue. They didn't maybe get right to God. They wanted forgiveness, but they're a little embarrassed to go talk to Him about it. Now, I've been there so many times. I say, "Hey, God, it's me again." He said, "I know you need forgiveness again." And I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "I'm pretty used to you coming." I said, "I know that, but I'm back. Forgive me." He'll say, "Jeff, I forgive you." Now, some people, he'll say, "Joe, I forgive you." But Joe sits there. He wallers in it. He walks around depressed in the mully grubs. "Oh, what I did is so bad." Now, I want you to have repentance. I want you to have remorse. But could I tell you something? Once He forgives you, now go serve God. Get up and go do something. You say, "But I'm a sinner." That's all God has. You know. You say, "But God's using so-and-so." Yeah, they're a sinner too. I just say to you, if you want to survive, you have got to claim the forgiveness of God. You say, "I believe in it." I want you to do more than that. I want you to act upon it. You say, "I got knocked down." Okay, ask God to forgive you. Jump back up and get back in there and serve God as quickly as you can. Here's what it boils down to. Jeff Owens has had to survive his own sinful stupidity. I have to survive my own sinful stupidity. I sin, though. I ask for forgiveness. He said if I'd asked, He'd forgive. I believe Him, and I go on my way. There were times when the devil was playing with my brain, saying, "He's not going to forgive you that. He'll never use you again. You really goofed up. You really did bad." And the devil's working overtime on me and saying, "You might as well forget it. He's not going to use you anymore. It's all over. God's done with you." But I said, I'm going to try. I'm just going to go ahead and try. I'm going to ask forgiveness. I ask for it. I believe it. I launched back out and tried again. And you know what? He used me again. And the old devil was a liar. He was trying to steal my faith and my belief in the forgiveness of God. Now, folks, don't waste your time. Get to Him. Get the forgiveness and get back on track as fast as you can. If you don't claim forgiveness, you will put yourself out of the race. It won't be that somebody else put you out of the race. You'll put yourself out of the race. You say, "Well, you don't know what I've done." Well, you do realize the Apostle Paul stood and consented to the death of Stephen. Moses killed a man. I can take you through the Bible and show you some pretty nasty sins that were committed by some men, and God used them thereafter, and I believe because they knew how to claim the forgiveness of God. Now, I'm not saying claim it in an arrogance, in a humility. You claim it not because you deserve it, but it is available. Thank God for it. Get back up and go serve God again. Let me give you one more point, how to be a survivor. I believe if you want to be a survivor, you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit's power. In 1 John 2:20 it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." Now, a lot of preachers, that people like that word unction. Gotta have the unction. And there's a little, what I'd call spizzarinctum to the word unction. And people like unction. Unction actually is ability to handle things in His power. The ability to handle things in His power. Let me explain. Folks, your strength is not enough. Carnal Christians get depressed easy. You need the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. Your character is not enough, but the Holy Spirit will be your helper. Let me warn you. We have some people in our church, I think, are people of high character. Listen to this. The greater your character, the greater your challenges will be. And that's so God can put you in situations where you have to depend on Him. I am thankful that somewhere along the way, I've been trained some things having to do with character. I'm glad. There are some times when I wish I didn't have it. I'm thinking, do you know what you and I'll do? We'll throw everything we have into it and try to solve it ourselves, and then there comes a point when we run out. You say, well, I can go a long time. I know, but boy, God can outgo you on this thing, and He's going to put something on you that's bigger than you. You say, why? Because He wants you to depend on Him. And I'm for us learning and developing and all of that. I'll tell you a story. I have a friend, his name is Jerry Lowther. Jerry was in Special Forces. He was an Airborne Ranger, I think. Does that sound right? Airborne Ranger. And I'm talking, this guy was somebody. Now, top physical condition. Fell out of a helicopter once. It has over 300 stitches throughout his body. I mean, this guy, he was somebody. And I remember as I would sit and I was counseling with Jerry one day, he said to me, he said, preacher, he said, I know why I have multiple sclerosis. We'll see. Now, Jerry's not Special Forces anymore. He said, but I know why. He said, let me tell you something. I was trained to handle anything. He said, the training that I received was immense, intense. It was incredible. He said, but God brought something in my life that reminded me, Jerry, you can't do this on your own. Now, I try to use all the tools that I'm aware of to help a person be a survivor. But there comes a point when you have to realize you turn to Him and you say, I can't do this. Holy Spirit of God, please take me the distance that I can't go on my own. And Jerry told me, he said, all the training in the world won't help me with my multiple sclerosis. He said, there are things about it that I have no control over at all. He said, so I find myself begging God all the time, help me to keep going. Now, if you want to be a survivor, I gave you 9 things that will help you, but number 10 is real important. And number 10 is, don't think you're going to survive on your own. You need to walk in the Spirit. You need to go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, you're sealed within me. You got to get me through this. I'm going to do. Now, God's not going to come do it all for you. That's why I give you 9 points first. Then I come in the end and I say, well, you do everything you can. And then when you come to the end of yourself, you just say, Holy Spirit of God, help me. I don't want to be spooky. I don't want to be eerie. But when I have done everything I could, and then I go to Him and I say, this last couple steps, I can't. Somebody's going to have to help me. I feel like there have been times when God has scooped me up. He said, okay, I'll carry you the next couple steps. I see you've done everything that you can. But until you've done everything you can, He doesn't need to step in. So remember, you're going to need His Spirit to get you over the hump. His Spirit's not going to kick in until He knows you've done what you can. Decide you want to be a survivor. All I want to do is I want to be 100-year-old gray-haired, I'm already there, 100-year-old gray-haired preacher, and I want to have the same Bible, the same convictions, the same standards. I want to believe the same old way. I want to survive. I want you to survive. I've given you an idea how to be a survivor tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Somebody here just needs to decide that you want to be a survivor. You want to be a survivor. You need to decide you want your marriage to survive. You want your kids to survive. In a moment, I'm going to turn to the pianist. The piano will begin to play and we'll stand. You might need the altar for a moment. Some of you young people, you need to decide that you're going to stay in church the rest of your life. And you know, there's enough of you. I was 16 years of age when I made that decision. I decided I want to be a survivor. I want to keep going. Somebody here tonight needs to decide that. Some of you have been very sincerely, but almost unaware of the devil's desire to keep you from being a survivor. Some of you, you virtually need to make the decision. I want to be a survivor. You need to decide it. You need to determine it. You need to realize somebody needs you to make that decision. Maybe you fit in somewhere in these steps, somewhere in these tools of survival. You needed something extra tonight. If that be the case, you let God speak to your heart. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I want to be a survivor. Is it the forgiveness of God? Are you out there still dealing with some issue where you've sinned against God, but you're letting it steal your victory? Look, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to do wrong. I don't want you to mess up your life. But if you have, ask God to forgive you. Get back on track and get out there and serve Him again. Oh, I wish it would be beneficial. I could tell you stories of the things that I've been through and the things that I've faced and the things that have yanked at my heart. Things that really should have destroyed me. But by God's mercy and His grace, I made it through it. I've given you many of the practical points on how. I can't tell you everything I've been through because I don't think it'd be beneficial to us all. But I can sure tell you that I know some of the tools that you need in your toolbox. If you're going to make it, you better claim that forgiveness. You better realize somebody's watching you. You better realize God is a just God and He would not put more on you than you can handle. You better get the attitude that He's not trying to destroy you, but He's trying to make you. You better stop and just say to yourself, it could be worse, and I know it could be worse. You better believe that God knows what He's doing. You better make sure you don't waste all your energy worrying about the future while you have a burden to carry today. Use today's power today. I just glance off at the thought that Jesus didn't quit on you. And when you've done what you know to do, you turn to the Spirit of God that is sealed in you and you say, oh Spirit, I need you to help me, carry me just a little bit here. Get me through some of this. And He will. And really, in Christianity, the more character you have, it may be the greater your burden, because God has to get you to the point where He gets to enjoy carrying you. And most of us don't turn to Him until we've used our tools up. I think Brother Hiles was one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth. He was a man of character and integrity, but he faced the battles. He faced the battles. And I'm just sure there are times when God brought him to the end of himself and he had to say to the Holy Spirit of God, help me through this. This is unimaginable. And God said, I can carry you the rest of the way. I can carry you the rest of the way because I see you are doing all you can. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be gone. I hope tonight somebody is a survivor in life because of the sermon. Everybody look at me for just a second.